Article 6 of the 39 Articles.
What are the 39 Articles?
Does anyone know? I'm asking the question. About mid-16th century, during the English Reformation, Thomas Cranmer, who's the Archbishop of Canterbury, put together a series of the Articles of the Christian Religion. So it was sort of like the theological basics for the Church of England. So, Article 6. Holy Scripture contains all things necessary to salvation, so that whatsoever is not read therein, nor may be proved thereby, is not to be required of any man that it should be believed as an article of the faith, and be thought requisite or necessary to salvation. So today we're looking at the last of the four W's. At Southeast Bendigo Anglican, and we had Karen preach on witness. We had Trev on welcome with the bird bath. We had Eddie last week on worship, and today I'll be talking about word. And this is a topic close to my heart, and I'm thinking it's a topic that for many of us here today, it's close to their heart. Now, 6 months ago, there were several Instagram posts made by some famous Christian, or perhaps more accurately, ex-Christian celebrities, announcing their departure from the Christian faith. One was an author and former church pastor who has had enormous influence over the past 20 or so years. The other, a musician and worship leader who has written some of the songs many of us have sung in church over that same period of time. Now, I'm not going to name names, but one of the best responses to these public crises and loss of faith came from the lead singer and bass guitarist of a hard rock band called Skillet, a guy by the name of John Cooper. And he said on this Facebook post, he said, "We must stop making worship leaders and thought leaders or influencers or cool people or relevant people the most influential people in Christendom. And yes, that includes people like me. I've been saying for 20 years that we are in a dangerous place when the church is looking to 20-year-old worship singers as our source of truth. We now have a church culture that learns who God is from singing modern praise songs rather than from the teachings of the Word." And he said, "It is time for the church to rediscover the preeminence of the Word and to value the teaching of the Word. We need to value truth over feeling, truth over emotion."
Amen.
And it's been a topic that's been controversial in recent times, as some have tried to dismiss the Word of God, perhaps reinterpret it in strange, new, twisted ways, or even consider it to be dangerous to society and try to silence it. Now, the Word of God is actually dangerous, but in a good way. And today we're going to look at what the Word says about itself, in particular, what it is, how it is to be used and applied, and why. Now, the Bible that we accept as canonical or authoritative, it contains 66 books, with most scholars suggesting it had around 40 or so different authors over a period of up to 2,000 years, although the majority was probably written and compiled in less than 1500. So what is Scripture? What is the Word of God? "For all Scripture," or every Scripture, "is inspired by God." Or more literally in the Greek, "God breathed." It's like God breathed. Now, not small parts are inspired, not most of it, but all of Scripture. 2 Peter 1:19-21, "And we have something more sure, the prophetic word to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." It's not as though the Word of God was simply dictated to the writer. Rather, they were inspired by the Spirit of God to accurately convey all that God wanted to communicate. I'll reiterate that again. They were inspired by the Spirit of God to accurately convey all that God wanted to communicate. So if it's inspired or God-breathed, where do we fit into the picture? Now, over the centuries, the church placed strict limits on who should read, interpret, and teach the word. It was basically just priests, and many of them actually had limited literacy as well. And instead, the traditions of the church often took precedence, and the vast majority of people had no access to the word. In Matthew 15, Jesus actually criticizes the religious leaders for putting tradition ahead of the law, God's word. They were left in the dark. And with the changes wrought by the Reformation and also the invention of the printing press in the early 16th century, the word of God began to become accessible to many more people. It was a huge shift. Little warning. Now remember too that when you read the Bible, you are not the primary audience. You're not one of the Hebrews near Mount Sinai in the wilderness when Moses came down with the law. You're not in the Jewish temple that disappeared in AD 70. You're not a member of the church in Rome or Ephesus circa AD 60 and receive a letter from Paul. But we, all of us here, we are a people loved by God who read his word and discover God's character, his instructions and his actions throughout salvation history, from creation to the end times. So it's important to keep that in mind when reading and interpreting scripture. So how should scripture be used? Every scripture is inspired by God and useful or profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. It's a great summary there by Paul. The teaching of the word, that's the faithful teaching and exposition of scripture week in and week out at church and in the small groups in this parish. That's so important. And I admit that we are spoilt here at this church with so many competent Bible teachers. This is something we really should give thanks to God for and not stop doing. And it's not just the teaching of the word, it's to be used for exposing false teachings and ideas and actions. That's what we mean by reproof or rebuke. You know, so often people are led astray by weird and wacky fantasies and concepts that might sound great to our itching ears, but they're often contrary to God's will. So scripture can correct that. It's in the sense of setting us upright and back on our feet. And training in righteousness. It helps us to understand what is true and just and how to live it. It has huge importance in discipleship and learning to be followers of Christ. You see, the word of God applied by the Holy Spirit is the key to discipleship and lives being transformed. That's what a lot of the rest of the world can't grasp. And especially when a lot of our church leaders have failed miserably in that respect. But the word of God, applied by the Holy Spirit, it's how we mature and build character. And especially when applied within a church community. Now this verse in 2 Timothy 3, it actually also helps us understand what scripture isn't. It's not an optional extra to our faith, which we can ignore. It's not so unclear or blurry that we can never properly understand it or let it speak words of truth today. And it's not irrelevant to Christians today because the world has changed or we can't trust God's word. That's what scripture is not. I remember several years ago having a discussion with a friend of mine who actually dismissed the traditional and largely accepted teaching within the Bible on some very hot topics. He argued that, well, we can't really understand Scripture because us humans, we can only read it as if we're doing so while wearing dark sunglasses in a dull room with blurred vision and reflected off a dusty mirror. And he based this on a poor interpretation of 1 Corinthians 13:12. So he actually used Scripture to twist it into something that it was not. And this person, he was unwilling to accept Scripture asserting absolute truth about things like marriage, relationships that pleased or displeased God, and so on. We see that a lot today. Instead, it's why from our reading in Psalm 119, we can say with confidence, what was that passage again? Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. Is it any wonder that one of the most common questions Jesus asked around him is, have you not read? You see it all in the Gospels, all the time. Have you not read? Or, have you never read? There's lots of examples. For example, in Matthew 19:4, he says, haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. He was repeating Genesis 2. Have you not read? Jesus expects us to read Scripture and gain wisdom and understanding. The Word of God is alive and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God's word, it is not dead words that are powerless and irrelevant. No, it goes deep into our soul and affects our whole being. And the imagery here is like being on the operating table and the surgeon grabs the world's sharpest scalpel and cuts deep within. Now, one of my biggest fears in life is having a general anaesthetic and going under the knife. And thankfully, I never have. In fact, when I was about 19, needed some wisdom teeth removed. And I actually had 5 wisdom teeth, not 4. And the surgeon actually said, I'll give you a choice. You can undergo local anaesthetic, and it'll be quite, be a lot of pushing, shoving, noise. It'll be really quite uncomfortable. Or we can give you a general anaesthetic and we can comfortably remove them in the operating theatre. I said, local. And it was probably, it was half an hour of sheer butchery that I was all aware of. But anyway, my face blew up like a basketball. It was quite intense. And actually, my son Charles, my 2-year-old son Charles, he's actually one up on me. He actually had a general anaesthetic to have some plastic surgery on a finger that he jammed in the door. So he's one up on me. But the fact of the matter is that the Word of God has authority over us. The Word is the sword, and we're the ones that are being subject to it. Not the other way around. We may want to pass judgment on the Bible and subdue it, but ultimately, as verse 13 explains, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now you must be thinking, what's that image from the octagon doing up there? Well, it's very interesting. In the Greek, the word for laid bare or exposed, it's actually a wrestling term. And it conveys something quite powerful. It's the image of being in a wrestling ring, or if you're into MMA, cage fighting in the octagon, and your opponent has subdued you by bending your neck and paralysing you on the mat. It's like submission. It's like he's down for the count. He can't do a thing. Game over. The Word of God has authority over us, and we are found wanting and in need of salvation. You have to give an account to God and not make God accountable to you. You're not the judge. God is. And this is where we get to the why. Why is the Word of God important for us here at Holy Trinity? Well, back to 2 Timothy 3:15. The Scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus. And in verse 17, that we may be thoroughly equipped. I've underlined that word, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What we're saying is that the Word of God, what Paul is saying is that the Word of God equips us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ, who has saved us, into action. It's faith into action. It is us as believers being capable of doing what our Creator intended, bringing the message of hope, love, salvation to a lost world, being effective witnesses who can minister to others and do so with integrity and grace. Now, I underlined that thoroughly equipped because, again, in the Greek, it's actually this image of a rescue wagon or a rescue boat that's fully fitted out. That we, as God's witnesses, might be fully equipped, like an RFDS jet or a modern ambulance, you know, fully equipped, not missing bits and pieces, to be part of God's plan to witness and minister to others. The Word of God. I read this passage from Psalm 25, and I think we should say this together as a prayer. I really do. Let's say it. Lord, make me understand your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me into your truth and teach me. For you are the God who delivers me. On you I rely all day long. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have spoken through your prophets and your people over the centuries. We thank you that we can trust your word. We thank you that we can have confidence in it. We thank you that it is lighting our path. Lord, help us to use Scripture wisely, to interpret it, the whole counsel of Scripture well. Holy Spirit, help us to understand those parts of the Word that are difficult to understand. Help us to be willing to come under its authority and to be transformed by your Word and your Spirit. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.